We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You know what everybody benefits from, Vince?
Say it.
Rapid fire.
That's a great segue.
Let's go. Okay, so according to a report from ESPN this afternoon, the college football playoff is on the verge of moving to the 14-team format beginning in 2026. Now, the actual format has not been determined in terms of who's getting these buys and, you know, home, whatever. They've just determined that they are going to expand to 14 teams beginning in 2026. The next 2 years are still going to be the 12-year or the 12-team format. But the 10 FBS conferences and Notre Dame are expected to sign an agreement by tomorrow, Friday, to move to 14 teams. And then they would basically, in this first agreement, spell out the revenue model. And then after that's done, the TV contract comes next, apparently, after they agree to 14. After they sign the TV contract, that's when apparently they will determine the actual, you know, who's getting the buys and all those kind of things. So just for right now, the fact that they have come to an agreement on expanding to 14 teams here in a couple of years, what do you think about this move?
I feel like it's a bit premature since we haven't even gone through a 12 team format. Like I feel like you at least got to take this one out for a test run and see how it goes. I mean, I realize they, in theory, they have all the kinks worked out, but let's see how it operates. You know what I mean? And so I feel like you're a year early, to be honest. I would like to see it go a year and then decide on a 14 team playoff, because now you're changing everything again. And so who gets buys, who gets automatic bids? It's like the timing of everything seemed to work out pretty well with the 12-team playoff as far as like the dates and stuff. So are we adding a weekend? Are we, you know, I don't know. Seems premature to me.
I know. And for that matter, if you're going to expand, why stop at 14? Why not go all the way to 16? And then you... You know, because like if the whole reason for the expansion, which we know the reason for the for this expansion is the greed of the Big Ten and the SEC and wanting to get more teams in. That's what this is all about. But it also comes down to, as Father David says, they're being honest. The money decision comes first. And I mean, that's what this is all about. Money and getting more teams in the playoff. Then. But again, you know, if getting more teams in is the goal, why not just move it to 16? Then you can still have more at large. And, you know, these conferences, like there are less actual upfront guarantees, I guess, that have to be made if you're going to have more, you know, in the playoff to begin with. So in other words, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC want these guarantees that they're going to get at least three teams in. Well, if you just expand it all the way to 16, it just increases the odds that you're going to get your three in without having to have it guaranteed.
Right? Yeah, without having to say it in black and white that you're exactly guaranteed to get three in. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I'm not thrilled with it. I don't really think too many people are thrilled with it. But again, you've got two conferences that are basically holding everybody hostage. And I mean, when you listen to what I'm about to tell you, I'll be curious to see what you think about this, because according to what Pete Thamel was saying at ESPN.com, the Big Ten and SEC schools are expected to receive $21 million per year each as part of this new agreement. ACC schools would receive a little bit more than $13 million annually. The Big 12 schools and Notre Dame would each receive around $12 million per year annually. So you're going to have the Big 10 and the SEC getting $21 million, ACC 13, Big 12 and Notre Dame $12 million each. Now, the thing with Notre Dame would be there will be a financial incentive apparently in this agreement that so Notre Dame would get $12 million per year, no matter what, as part of this cut.
Oh, even if they there get it will or not. Be,
there's basically for any independent team that reaches the playoff, there would be an extra financial incentive on top of that as well.
My takeaway from everything that you've said in the last 5 minutes is that Notre Dame is still relevant. Because they're still a part of this negotiation, folks.
Right.
And if anybody that thinks that Notre Dame needs to be part of a conference after because the thing that you sent to me, and I don't know if it was a direct quote from a tweet or whatever, it said, conference commissioners and Notre Dame are about to agree on a deal.
Right. Right.
Guys, Notre Dame is as relevant as ever. Okay. Yep. So
10 that, conference commissioners and Notre Dame.
And Notre Dame. Like,
yes.
Don't give me that nonsense that Notre Dame's not relevant. Okay. So I would be worried if they said the 10 conference commissioners and that was where the sentence ended.
Right.
That would start to worry me. But the fact that Notre Dame is guaranteed $12 million, whether they make it into the playoff or not, pretty much says all that I need to know. And they're going to, if they make it in a 14 team playoff, if Notre Dame doesn't make it in, that's a huge disappointment anyway. And so I feel like you have to just count on the fact that you're going to get the 12 plus X, whatever it happens to be, that you get for getting in. And that's the number that they're receiving.
Exactly. And apparently the justification for the disparity in money is the Big Ten and the SEC have 34 combined teams in this. So they've got all the leverage in this deal. And they're the ones who are leveraging this whole deal. But they have also spelled out that, like Greg Sankey, for example, 40% of the teams from the SEC have been playoff teams, basically, over the years. And the ACC gets a little bit more than the Big 12 because they've had eight teams in the playoff. And that's obviously multiple times with Clemson and stuff like that. But Notre Dame's appearance counts as well in 2020 for their number that they're using because Notre Dame was in the ACC. They were the ACC champs, remember that year. But then the Big 12, a little bit fewer numbers for them. So that's how apparently they came to these numbers. But
they were going to use whatever metric they needed to use.
It does strike me that, again, you've got the Big Ten and the SEC squeezing everybody to expand and wanting more automatic qualifiers from their conference. And they're also going to get more money out of this whole deal off the top as well before you even get teams actually into the playoff. So,
you know, part of me wants to also say that these, any conference not named the SEC and the Big Ten, it's kind of your fault, man. Like, you allowed your conference to get poached.
Yeah.
You allowed this to happen. You could have gone in the driver's seat and tried to poach teams to your conference, or, you know, whatever the case may be, right? And you just kind of allowed yourselves, your feathers to get plucked. You know what I mean? And so this is the bed you made. Now you kind of got to sleep in it a little bit, you know? And the Big 12, I think, did a good job of replenishing the schools, but those schools are so, they're not here, they're here. And so that makes their conference here for now. Mm-hmm. And so that's just the reality of it. And I guess I'm not even mad at the SEC and the Big Ten. I'm annoyed at the fact that they just never can seem to have enough. That's annoying. Right. But, you know, they're the big dog, and they're seeing how much stick they can wave around, you know?
I mean, that's it. You know, and again, they are essentially protecting themselves from themselves, because nobody made the Big Ten go out and get USC and UCLA and Oregon and Washington. Nobody made the SEC go out and get Texas and Oklahoma, but they're doing it. And now, because they have done that, not only are they going to have those, you know, because they're like, oh, man, there's a greater chance that our best teams are going to have more losses. So we've got to have all these guarantees now. And, you know, so they've not only destroyed an entire conference and created all these travel issues for everybody else who's still around, but now they're going to force this playoff format on us that goes against everything that sports is supposed to be about.
Oh, yeah.
Actually earning your way
into
postseasons and playoff spots and, you know, championships. You're supposed, you know, talk about the meritocracy, you know, like that's what sports is supposed to be about. And, you know, they keep wanting to throw these, you know, ideals at us about the NCAA and all these student athletes who are going to go on and be professional in something other than sports. And it's just, just stop the facade, because that's all it is. It's or the charade, I guess, not the facade.
All, you know, same.
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And it's another piece of this, and, you know, I'm kind of going off on a limb here, but like all of this guaranteed money for the ACC and the Big 12 as well, doesn't that kind of solidify the fact that they're still going to be around for a while?
It would, you would think so, because that's still a pretty nice little revenue chunk that they're getting.
Yeah.
Like when you look at the fact, like what their TV contracts are, again, like that's why that's why this 14 team playoff went through, because the Big Ten and the SEC can go, we're going to, you know, sign these, you know, we're going to take these bigger payouts up here, but you're still going to get this just by showing up and just being a part of this.
Yeah.
You don't actually even have to make the playoff to get this money. So you're giving them what, about a third of what they're making in their actual TV contracts based on, you know, all the reports. You're giving them about a third of that on top of their TV contracts.
Right.
So like, why are they going to vote against that?
I mean, you know, Cincinnati and all these new schools that just showed up to the Big 12, and all of a sudden they're getting this massive payday just for existing. They don't even have to make the playoff, but they get this massive payday at the end of the year. And yeah, it's not as much as the Big Ten or the SEC. Okay, I get that. But they're still getting, what was it, $12 or $13 million or $11 million, whatever it is, double-digit millions just for existing and saying, yeah, we'll come help prop up the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still a win for them. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Joe says, what if all the other conferences create their own playoff system and make them conform to them? Well, the problem is, where are they going to get the money?
Right.
It's all about the TV revenue.
Yeah, and you're not going to get the money that you need in order to do that, Joe, unfortunately. And so they don't have the power. I realize this is Irish breakdown. I get it. But the only team with the power to potentially start a new conference or get – people with money and, you know, TV rights and all that behind them would be Notre Dame. The other conferences aren't going to be able to do it unless Notre Dame's involved. If Notre Dame's involved, you got a shot. You got a shot. But right now, in this agreement, why would Notre Dame want to do something different?
Everybody's getting a pretty good chunk of money, and that's why everyone's pretty much willing to. The only ones who aren't, the group of five teams, but they're group of five, you know, so they're lower revenue anyway. They're going to get around $1.8 million is what it said. But, you know, still, it's not $12 million or $13 million, but $1.8 million for these group of five, that probably helps their athletic budgets quite a bit, actually.
It's massive. You know? Yeah. Still massive. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I saw a question about this on our Champions Lounge board, and I thought it might be worth a discussion here. The question was from someone who posted on the board. Do you think Devin Ford moving from running back to safety this spring makes him less likely to transfer?
Yes, I do. Because if he was a running back, he would probably be fifth on the depth chart and maybe fourth, depending on where he kind of stacks up with the incoming freshman, right? And, you know, he was absolutely valuable to this team as a special teamer. Mm-hmm. Absolutely valuable. And Marcus Freeman didn't mince words in the press conference saying that he was a special team star and he's going to be starting on every special team. And so I think, smartly so, the coaching staff and whoever's idea this was, I don't know whose idea it was, but whoever's idea it was, but like, look, Devin Ford helped us out on special teams a lot. Let's talk to him about, hey, how can we make him an even better special teams player? And that involved a position switch. And so it's all based on special teams, and the focus on special teams, I think, is awesome. It's absolutely awesome. And so, yeah, I think there was a good chance that he was going to leave. Like, hey, I'm not going to get any carries. You know, special teams is cool, okay, but they made it so that, hey, this is an opportunity for you to be something special here at Notre Dame. You've got a right. niche that you've carved out for yourself. Let's make you better at that, because that could potentially give you a future in the NFL as well and keep you here. And I looked at the board, by the way, and I saw some of the responses, and people are kind of, there were some people that were upset about the fact that, you know, he's stealing a roster spot from somebody because they still have to get below the 85 or whatever, right? It always works itself out, number one. And number two, the coaching staff knows exactly what they're doing. They wouldn't offer him this opportunity if they were planning on cutting him,
right?
You know, in air quotes, cutting him or having him move on and transfer to someplace else.
Right. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, because I think that where Devin Ford is at this point in his career, if he really wanted to continue to play running back, he would have to enter the portal and probably transfer down. Like, he would have to go to a group of five level team to play running back. And he could probably go to one of those schools, you know, like a MAC school or, you know, whatever, and, you know, go out there and, you know, make a dent as a running back. But that would have to be his route if that's what he wanted to do, I think. So the fact that he's gone through all this and his willingness to do this, to stay here at Notre Dame. And remember, like, it's not like they had to keep him on at Notre Dame after his 1 year last year, but there was value for both sides. And what he provided, as you were talking about, as a special teams player. And now moving to safety, it at least gives him an opportunity in the spring to see how it works out, to see what he can do at it. Yeah. And he does bring a lot of value, like you said, as a special teams performer. And that can be something, you know, again, that, like, if he really wants a professional future, that's going to have to be a part of it anyway. He's going to have to be as versatile as possible to show what he can do. And, you know, look, there's a spring league out there. And as long as
that's true,
you know, the new spring league continues, the UFL, like, a year from now, you know, maybe, you know, if that could be a path for Devin Ford, whether it's there or in Canada, or say, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the NFL, but he's still a guy with a lot of talent, and making this position move is probably his best bet in terms of being able to make that happen if that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I, you know, as an aside, he's probably also going to get his master's degree from Notre Dame. So
true too.
There's some...
a lot of value that obviously comes with that as well.
I mean, and I don't know. We all know that there are some quote unquote graduate students that come to Notre Dame and they're non-degree seeking, right? And I don't know what his situation is, but if he's going to be at Notre Dame for 2 years, you have to think he'd want to leave with something. And so leaving with a degree from Notre Dame, I think, would be pretty fantastic.
DK says, speaking of Ford's, his F-150 died in the middle of the road on his way home today. I mean, isn't that literally what Ford stands for? Like, found on road dead? Like, isn't it, you know, like...
Ouch. I just bought a Ford.
Did you really? Sorry, Vince.
Thanks for the advice, Sean Stiers.
Actually, I've got a Ford as well. It's either a third or fourth.
That's true.
Ford Escape.
Dude, someday you got to tell the story about what happened out front of Mishawaka High School.
Oh, my gosh.
That was unbelievable.
It was nuts.
Nuts.
It was total nuts. Okay, ESPN's Dan Orlovsky is a guest on the most recent SI Media podcast with Jimmy Traina. And while talking about projected number one overall NFL draft pick Caleb Williams in that episode, Orlovsky said that after watching Williams face Al Golden's Notre Dame defense this past season, Orlovsky has a lot Golden's defense obviously has a lot of NFL elements to it. Orlovsky said, quote, "You don't love that tape," end quote. Williams going up against that NFL style Al Golden defense. So what do you think about this, Vince, hearing Dan Orlovsky say that?
Look, I'm all for anything negative somebody can say about Caleb Williams. I just
serve it up to you.
You
I
do,
just
man.
Serve it up it, to you like, right on a platter.
Just watching it leave the park. Okay. I remember reading that for the first time and I was like, I had a literal smile on my face. I was like, yes. Here's the hard part though. he gets drafted by the Bears and he can't read a defense, this is going to be a problem. Okay. And the Bears' woes of drafting quarterbacks will once again, you know, hit the you-know-water. But I think he makes a legitimate point because the defenses in the Pac-12, the former Pac-12, are not exactly known for their stoutness. Okay. Yeah. They're not exactly known for their NFL tendencies and things of that nature. And he ripped them apart. There's no doubt about it. Ripped them apart. And Notre Dame gave him fits. They gave him fits. And the thing is, even 2 years ago when they played against Caleb Williams, that defense gave him fits too, if you remember. He made some pretty amazing physical plays to get out of danger multiple times, like get out of sacks and things like that.
And I think that was a classic case of Al Golden maybe overthinking his approach to defending him anyway, because remember some of the, you know, the things that he changed around and stuff like that going into that game. But yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I don't think that the Notre Dame defense failed 2 years ago. And then this past year, he obviously learned from his mistakes, he meaning Al Golden, and the defense just played unbelievable against him. So I think there's some legitimacy to what he's saying. And hopefully, you know, people that are look, he's still going to go number one. He just is. And so we've gone too far down that road, I think, at this point. This isn't draft day. Yeah. Like, it's not going to change on a dime, you know, the day of the draft. Which, by the way, I really like that movie.
Do you?
I do. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, that's another conversation for another time. But
we'll save it. We'll save it for draft day.
Okay. Fair. All right, that'd be fun. But no, it is something to really kind of sit back and think about, you know, the defenses that he's played up against in college.
I think that movie shows up on Netflix like every year around the draft, if I'm not mistaken.
And I always watch it.
Yeah. I'll touch on Al Golden's defense first. Just some thoughts, you know, on the other side of that, not just how it applies to Caleb Williams, but it obviously took a little bit of time for the players to learn that defense and, you know, for Golden to kind of pare some things down. But you hear someone like Orlovsky saying this, I mean, I think it just shows that it is a defense, you know, that can give even guys who are considered among the elite quarterbacks some fits. And, you know, like you said, it wasn't just this past season. It was 2 years ago out there in LA as well. And again, just that process of kind of like the value of having the veterans at linebacker specifically last year, and kind of what we were talking about with the linebackers earlier about how now, you know, you've got guys in the system and they kind of continue to teach each other, you know, everyone's got a little bit, you know, more time in the system and all that kind of stuff. And I think that we're going to really continue to see this defense in an upward trajectory with all these guys that are going to be, you know, coming in here over the next few years, you know, as long as Al Golden stays here. In terms of Caleb Williams, he threw three interceptions in that game against Notre Dame. It was his only multiple interception game last season. It's one of two multiple interception games that he has had in his career. And the first one was as a freshman when he was back at Oklahoma. You know, it had been like two full calendar years since he had had a multiple interception game, you know? So, I mean, guys always start getting picked apart at this time of the year with the draft and, you know, red flags start popping up and stuff like that. You know, is it really, you know, is that game just an aberration or is there more to it? But, you know, I think you're probably right. Like the Bears know what they want to do at this point. And the sure bet, based on what everyone is talking about, is just to draft Caleb Williams, you know, unless they're going to get a boatload of draft picks in return for him. That's a sure bet. But they've got to hit on it because they've already taken two first-round quarterbacks, you know, including Justin Fields, obviously, since 2017. And they're going to be drafting another one if it doesn't work out within the next couple of years.
Right. So, yeah, no doubt.
Okay. So Notre Dame men's basketball, they finished 13-20 after that loss yesterday in the ACC tournament to Wake Forest. NIT is likely not an option for them because the NIT, basically it's like, you know, once they figure out the field of 68, they go pretty much based on, okay, who's next in their
next 32
rankings.
That
kind of thing. That's who they're going to take. Now, there is still the College Basketball Invitational
also known as the CBI. So if you were the Irish, would that interest you, taking part in the CBI, you know, not making the NCAAs or the NIT potentially?
100%. Absolutely no questions asked. I think anytime you can play more basketball, competitive basketball games with this group, the better off you are. And when you are a team with no expectations really coming into the season, right? And let's say the CBI, let's say they go out and win the CBI tournament. You just want a trophy. And yeah, you, and that's great momentum going into the offseason and everything. Like, people need to understand that, yeah, it's not the NCAA tournament. I get it. But there are small victories on the way to relevancy. And this group can use all the small victories that it can get. And a small victory for this group was the fact that they finished 6-4 on the season, right? That's how they their last 10 games went. That's great. 5-3 going into the ACC tournament. And so if you can go into another tournament and play it and win it, man, that's massive. That's absolutely – When I took over the baseball team at the high school, they were not good. They're just not good. And so we're working from the bottom up. And yeah, so I scheduled teams that I knew we could compete with and went to a tournament or something that I knew we could compete in. And you get the little dinky trophy, but you won something and you can build off of that. And I just think that absolutely you go and absolutely you play.
Yeah, I mean, one, it's 4 days in Daytona Beach. It's okay, March 23rd through the 27th. You're down in Daytona Beach, Florida. So that's a plus.
You know, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. But the other side, like, if this was year 4 or 5 for Micah Shrewsbury and you went into the season with legit expectations, you know, like NCAA tournament team, which obviously Mike Bray was going into the last few seasons of his career with that in mind, get to the tournament. So if you're farther along in the process of Micah Shrewsbury's tenure and you're going into a season legitimately thinking, you know, we need to be in the NCAA tournament or we're an NCAA tournament team, whatever, but then you have a 13-20 season, CBI would not be the top of my list at that point. But because of everything that you just talked about and what we've talked about, the fact that this is year one and Micah Shrewsbury is still building this up and this is still a really young team and a young program that he has, I think every chance that they can get to continue to play together would make nothing but sense. And you're going to be playing against pretty equal competition, like teams that you've got a pretty good chance to beat. You're not going to be going up against teams at the top of your conference anymore, teams in the top 20, you know, not even teams in the top 68, you know, or 90 something, 100 for that matter, by the time you've got the NIT selected as well. So you're going to be going up against pretty equal competition that you've got to feel pretty good about your chances to beat. So I think it would do nothing but be good for Notre Dame if they were, you know, able to play in the CBI.
And it's all about the timing of it, right? 2 years from now, if they end up playing in the CBI, that's a disappointment.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so you've got to understand kind of where you're at and where this team is at. More basketball, the better. And go, you know, come together to try to win something. I think that could be absolutely huge.
The Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe plug-in hybrid is built for the best of both worlds. For the city buzz, for the call of the wild, for finding solitude, for sharing memories, for day trips, and for far-roaming adventures. Because with gas and electric capability, the Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe inspires you to explore more, to explore it all. Tap the banner to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
"Thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options."
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
So the Buffalo Sabres, that's hockey for those.
Yes, it is. I didn't know that, by the way. I at least know who the teams are.
Right.
I got that much.
Buffalo Sabres have notified certain season ticket holders who sell their game tickets on the secondary markets that they will need to purchase a state-required $5,000 reseller license before they can renew their season ticket membership. So what do you think about this idea to curb season ticket holders from selling their tickets?
I kind of dig it. I mean, I've always kind of wondered how you can curtail people selling their tickets, right? I mean, and now that a lot of tickets are online and digital and all of that, I think it's probably easier to track and it's easier to figure out kind of what's happening and what's going on and all of those different things. And so I think that benefits the teams at this point, you know, with all the digital stuff. I love it. I think it's fantastic. I mean, be smarter if you're going to sell your tickets. Don't put, you know,
But aren't you basically restricting, you know, free trade by saying
fair.
Who can, that's, you know, cause like I might buy season tickets, but you know, like, especially for a hockey or a baseball or like an NBA basketball season, that's a lot of games and you can't go to every game.
Well, that's a good point.
Now I realize if you're trying to curtail,
Selling of the big games and.
Well, and even, you know, like the people who just basically are going out and buying a set of season tickets and then just not even going to any games and just selling all the tickets to make a profit off, you know.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Maybe there should be like a cap, like a number that you can sell or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what, what if you get sick? What if you're sick or you got to be out of town or I don't know.
Because, I mean, season tickets already cost enough. And even if it's just football, I mean, because obviously football tickets are a much higher premium because of the fact that there are so many fewer, you know, home games that you get, 6 to 7 home games or whatever, obviously, if it's college, 8 to 9 if you're in the NFL. But, you know, so, I mean, it already costs a lot just to buy. It seems like you would be curtailing the appetite for people to buy season tickets if you're going to drop another fee on top of it because you're going to say, well, you're not allowed to sell your tickets either.
Yeah.
So
I see it both ways. Dang it.
And I realize, especially when this comes up at Notre Dame, like the Ohio State game and the Georgia game and stuff like that, people, you know, you really want to cut that back. But I don't know. It seems a little steep to me, I think.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I immediately went to like the, you know, Notre Dame selling to the opposition and, you know, a red out at Notre Dame State, like all of that, like trying to curtail that type of thing. But like, I went to a bunch of men's and women's basketball games this year and it was all from season ticket holders who couldn't go to the games. And they're just like, hey, do you want some tickets? You know, that kind of a thing. So, and we didn't have to pay for them. They were given to us by other season ticket holders or they were, you know, however it all went down. Right. But they should be able to get money for those if they wanted them.
When I remember like back in the day, it seemed a lot more prevalent back then. There were a lot more like men's basketball season ticket holders who weren't necessarily, you know, from the area, you know, like a lot of people would buy them so they could go to a certain game or two, but they weren't at the majority of games. So you would just see these clusters of empty seats all over the place. You know, it doesn't seem quite as bad. And I'm talking specifically in the lower bowl.
The colored seats from back in the day.
Yeah.
Remember when they were all different colors?
Yes. I know.
Nothing more 60s than having different colored seats.
Below. I know. So I saw someone tweet this recently, Vince, a list of what they say are the most boring topics to discuss with someone. Number one, fantasy football events. Number two, poker hands. Number three, dream recaps, like recapping your dreams to somebody.
Brutal.
Number four, mock trades. So you good with that list? Do you have any of your own that you would add to this list?
Oh, see, here's the thing. You know, three of these four things are sports related. Real, I mean, I say poker is like sports related because it's on ESPN, right? So it's like, but three of those things, I don't know that I've ever had really conversations about, to be perfectly honest with you.
Like which ones?
The 1, 2, and 4. So fantasy football, poker hands, and mock trades. Like I've had those conversations.
But dream recapping, you've had. Do you have someone who recaps dreams to you?
No comment.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, one of those. Because I've actually, there's a podcast that I listen to, and they take, you know, like, question, and there have been a couple where there have been, like, husbands or boyfriends whose significant others, like, make it a priority to recap, you know, like, the dreams the night before and that kind of thing. And, like, would get upset if the husband slash boyfriend was not interested.
No, not even that. Dreams. I get in trouble for what I do in those dreams.
Oh my God. It is literally in your mind. It's not real things that are taking place. And that's, I've heard of that too, where you just get saying. In trouble for that.
And like her, the logical side.
Vince needs to whisper this part of the conversation.
Yes. The logical sides, she understands, don't be mad at him. But right. The emotional side, I could just see it on her face. She's pissed at me. I'm like, I got to go to the other room. I got to leave.
What you did last night.
Yeah.
My dream.
Oh, my God. Seriously. So that would be highly ranked on my list for
Didn't
sure.
Didn't mean to bring up a sore subject. I had no idea that
it hasn't happened
that
in a long time.
Close to home with you.
It hasn't happened in a long time. But interesting. I'm trying to think of other
I had a boss. That I've had. Who used to like always want to bring up his fantasy teams in our meetings.
Oh, really?
And it's like,
really?
You know, I play fantasy sports as well. And it's like, literally nobody cares about your fantasy team.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're the only one who cares about your fantasy team. Like
this is going to sound, well, I will just say this. This is very simple politics. I hate talking politics. I don't like it because it's just too divisive these days. I taught government. Like I enjoy the process of government. I can't stand politics. So I will just put that one on the side and just say, I hate talking about that.
Yeah.
The other one, and this might sound odd coming from me because a lot of times I guess I say stuff about it. I can't stand when people start bragging about their kids. I can't stand it.
It's like, I know it's almost like the fantasy sports thing. It's like,
yeah.
No one truly cares about your kid but you, right?
Yes.
Just like no one truly 100%. Cares about your fantasy team but you. And obviously, everyone's going to have the little humble brags here and there.
Sure.
And everyone's got kids and you do something, but it's like you can't go overboard with it. It's like Uncle Leo on Seinfeld always bragging about, oh, your cousin Jeffrey, he's got the job at the zoo now. And, you know, it's like, okay, Leo, okay.
Right. Like, I don't care about your kid. I don't. Right. I don't. And look, I'll retweet stuff that my kid puts out there basically because I want coaches to see it, not because I care about what anybody else thinks.
Right.
I just want one coach to give him a scholarship. It's all I care about.
That's right.
But like, I can't stand when people just start yapping up. Oh, my 8-year-old wrestled here and my 10-year-old did this. And, you know, the whole.
Right.
Oh, my God. It's like they don't understand, like, the reality of the situation. Like, a lot of times it's somebody's oldest kid who happens to be, like, 10 years old and went out and did this amazing thing.
Right.
It's like in the grand scheme of things, man, that means zero. Zero. Father David Penn.
Vince hates kids.
I hate their parents, actually. I love the kids.
Kids are great. Parents, completely different story.
Yes.
Golf guy is the other one, though. And I realize there are a lot of golfers, but
no,
like the golf stories,
wrong.
You know, like I don't play golf. And that's like when golf guy starts talking to non-golf guy, it's all like, there's nothing that'll get me to tune out quicker than when you start telling me about you just missed your birdie or, you know, whatever it happens to be. You know, again, it's kind of like a, you know, the crazy dream story, you know, like it just, the golf stories mean nothing.
Right.
So,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. Final question of the night.
This was hard. This might have been the hardest one you gave today.
It is March 14th. Or 314, otherwise known as National Pie Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you could only eat one kind of pie, one, not 11, one, for the rest of your life, what would it be?
So, my 8-year-old was mad at you because you spelled it P-I-E, and it's supposed to be P-I, because it's...
True.
He was mad at you, by the way, so... I'll talk him off the ledge. Don't worry.
That's actually, you should brag about your kid right now, Vince, because you picked up the fact that I spelled it wrong.
That was not the purpose of that conversation. So I like pie. Pie is great. Pie is good. Pie mm-hmm. is amazing. Mm-hmm. Pie is awesome. So I think I'm going to have to go, and, this is actually means anything in my life, but like when I was a kid, I loved pumpkin pie. Mm. Okay. I actually had a pumpkin pie as a birthday cake, quote unquote, one year when I was a kid. Loved pumpkin pie. Still love a good pumpkin pie, but I don't know that that's the route that I would go. Like a good, like peanut butter chocolate type of pie. Those are good right there.
My wife does not like the cream pies.
Really? Oh, see, I love the cream pies.
She would vote pecan. I'm seeing pumpkin with whipped cream.
Yeah, it's, that might be it right there.
Going back, Corey pretty much likes people in general. Okay. Going back to the last topic. Strawberry rhubarb, says Johnny.
Yeah,
my grandma used to make the rhubarb pie, and I was never a fan.
My parents used to make that. My dad used to make. We grew rhubarb in our backyard, and he would go out there and he'd hack it out. Then he'd go and he'd make a pie out of it. It was okay, but when you add the strawberries, that definitely helps. It has like a sweetness to it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Jason says, "Is cheesecake pie or cake?" That's isn't it really? When you think about it, like sort of the texture. It's really like a cheesecake is almost like a pumpkin pie.
Yes, right. I would agree with that.
Just a little bit taller, generally, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's accurate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you got the graham cracker crust. Big fan of the graham cracker crust. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right, DK. Cherry pie is for homicidal maniacs, which is why
too tart.
It is my favorite pie.
Is it? Oh, it's too tart. Cherry's too tart for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Cherry pie is like if there was a Stiers family flag or emblem, the cherry pie would be the focal point of.
It's a big fan across the board, emblem. Huh?
Oh, like my dad, because it was kind of handed down. My dad, my grandma, my dad's mom used to make the cherry pie. And so, they were like always a big hit, around the holidays. And, so my mom started making them. And, my wife, again, she's more of a pecan person, but of the, any of the big family events and holidays that come up, cherry pie is the focal point in the Stiers household. Interesting. So,
I like it. That's great.
Jason says peach cobbler, and Jason also agrees.
A good strawberry pie is good. Like, I'm good with like apple, strawberry. Like,
look, there's only one, blueberry. Vince. You can only eat one the rest of your life.
That's what I said. I'm a big fan of the
choose.
Pie.
You have to choose.
I'm a big fan of pie. It's good.
Choose a kid, choose a dream.
Don't make me choose.
That's right. One business note. We won't have a rapid fire show on Friday because we're doing the Jesse birthday dinner, and it is also one Dylan D'Addario's birthday. So we've got a lot of birthday events going on this weekend.
Yes, we do. So proper celebration will occur. So looking forward to it. Should be fun.
We do apologize, but have a great weekend, and we will be back on Monday, which will be the day after Selection Sunday. So we'll be talking about where Notre Dame women's basketball, hopefully staying home, most likely staying home, I think we can confidently say, host those games, what seed they've got and who they're playing and all that different kind of stuff.
DK.
Why are you talking about your kids?
Hey, noted. You're right.
You dug yourself a hole. You're never going to be able to bring up your kids on this show again.
I know I did. I know. I knew it as I was saying it. I was like, but here we are.
Yep. That's right.
Speaking of which, I'm being inundated right now within the room.
Okay. Well, I will roll out. Hit the like button, please, before you leave.
Yes.
And of course, subscribe. I won't even ask you to rate and review. As long as you subscribe on the podcast platform and hit the like button on YouTube. That's all we ask.
Help us out.
Requests.
Help us out.
Have a great weekend. We appreciate you as always, and we will talk to you. Fitz has got an audience.
Got the round of applause going here.
On Ivy Nation Sports Talk. They're all eating pie today at the Dairy Oval.